We haven't done a show together in a while.
It's been a while.
It has been.
You're listening to JD and Tammy Rucker as we deliver the NOQ report, or as we like to call it, the NOQ report. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and enjoy.
Oh, yeah. Today's going to be a fun one. Hello and welcome to another episode of the NOQ Report, the NOQ Report. I'm your host, JD Rucker, and I'm not joined today by my normal, lovely, brilliant, talented, and utterly hopeful co-host and wife, Tammy. Still vacationing, so we will see. Yes, the trolls are going to be coming in like mad. Question is, are they going to be trolling harder from Periscope, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, or from the actual podcast at Apple Podcasts? We've been getting a lot more of them lately. It's been fun. So as many of, if not most, if not all of you know, the Supreme Court ruled today that the Texas case, the heavily, I don't know what you want to call it. Everybody was pinning so much hope on this Texas case. And as I said in the show yesterday, you know, I gave it a 50-50 chance of being able to delay electors and about a 0% chance of actually being able to reverse the results in any of the four states that they were suing. And people were like, oh, don't be a naysayer. Don't be, you know, don't be like that. No. It's true. there were fatal flaws, and I'm not going to go over them now. It's a moot point. But I did detail them in last night's show that there were fatal flaws in the lawsuit itself. And as the court ruled today, the biggest one, which I didn't really talk about much, was standing. You know, Texas doesn't have standing in telling other states how they're supposed to operate their elections. That's something that should have been done internally. They should have been lawsuits from, for example, the Arizona GOP, which is pushing their lawsuit. They just filed their suit. I think they either have or are filing their suit with the Supreme Court today. You have Lynn Wood's case that has now been docketed with the Supreme Court. It's a tough one as well, but at least he shouldn't have as much of a problem with standing, because with his case, he is a potential elector. He has a lot more direct evidence. Now, people will ask, you know, why is it, you know, why were you so against the Texas case? Well, because of those fatal flaws. You know, I'm glad that they filed it. Don't get me wrong. The only thing that I was disappointed with both, and I said this for the Pennsylvania case, okay, the one that was filed by Sean Parnell and Mike Kelly, Congressman Mike Kelly, as well as with this case, the thing that I've always said is that, you know, what we really need, if we're going to correct this election, we need not attacks over procedure, not attacks over the constitutionality of the way that things were handled. Those are good and they're valid. I'm not saying the points weren't valid. But if we want action, we have to be able to demonstrate that this election was stolen. And that's through evidence of, for example, Dominion voting systems. Massive amounts of evidence have been flying in. Those cases have not made it to the Supreme Court yet. And we will see. Well, actually, Lynn Wood's case, like I said, it is docketed. And that one does have mentions of Dominion voting systems in it. Tomorrow, Saturday, you will hear the Trump team finally in front of a higher court, this time the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Their case is pretty strong. Okay, I wouldn't say it's a slam dunk by any means. And again, when we're dealing with courts, they generally don't want to get involved in elections. In this case, it's being framed as 220,000 voters being disenfranchised if their ballots, which can be demonstrated, were fraudulent. I'm not saying that they were all fake ballots, but the way that they were handled was fraudulent. They shouldn't have been counted. And all or some of them should be tossed, and we will see. Let me go ahead and, before I get too far into it, let me go ahead and hop in and address some of the trolls. Okay. Let's see. Man. I've always said I deserve better trolls than this. Ooh, there's a that's at least semi-intelligent. Let's see. It wasn't from a troll. According to Todd Montgomery, says, this is BS. This is a game for us to watch. If Biden wins, then we deserve to burn. And I'm not going to totally disagree with that at all. If we don't have what it takes as a nation to be able to take blatant, obvious, widespread, rampant, you could say practically ubiquitous voter fraud with thousands of sworn affidavits, with video evidence, images. If we can't, if we're not allowed to even utter on YouTube that there was voter fraud, we can't go on Twitter and talk about it without getting a label slapped on us. We get suppressed on Facebook. Mainstream media won't cover it. Maybe Todd's right. Maybe we do deserve to burn. But again, I'm not that fatalistic. I still do believe that, last I checked, this is still the United States of America. And the truth will end up prevailing in the end. Let's see. They just have to refile a different complaint, and then the Supreme Court will hear them. That's from Earl. I'm not going to butcher your last name. So Earl, on coming from Facebook, says they have to refile in a different complaint. That's possible, you know, for sure. But it's the real juice here. I'm telling you, please, you don't have to trust me on this. I'm not a lawyer. I've read a whole bunch about this. I don't watch Law and Order. I actually go to the sources, read affidavits, read lawsuits, too much reading. But the juice here, the way that the Supreme Court or any of the state Supreme Courts or any of the state legislators or any of the electors, anyone involved, they're not going to be compelled based upon protocols. In other words, you're not going to be able to convince them that, yes, you know, these 120,000 people voted, their votes were mishandled, okay? Then, and that's why their votes should be thrown out. No court is going to go down that road. You have to go in there and say, these 120,000 votes didn't exist. Forensic evidence demonstrates that through ESNS or Dominion voting systems, that these votes aren't actually votes. They're recounts of the same ballots, or they're manipulations of the counting system, or they were improperly reported. Or, you know, here's an example of ballots that were clearly fraudulent. They're obviously photocopies or mechanically generated with perfect circles. Or look, here's a lady on video taking stacks of ballots, running them through the counting system, taking them from the bottom of the counting system, putting them back through the same machine again and again and again, and it's all on video. That's the type of case that we need. That's where you can get the Supreme Court or the state Supreme Courts to act, saying, oh, well, you know, this was inappropriate. You know, if we were reading the letter of the law, then this should have been a constitutional amendment voted on by the people, and they should have allowed for this, and there should have been that. Those types of arguments are valid, okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they're not valid arguments. They're just not strong enough for any judge or justice to be able to say, let's flip this state. Let's invalidate this. Let's potentially disenfranchise thousands of voters. No, folks, the key here, and the reason that I'm still extremely confident, I put myself at about 85% confident that President Trump is still going to win, is because we have the real evidence, and it's working its way up. Don't be discouraged by this technicality, because this was a technicality of a technicality. There were, as I said last night, okay, before the ruling came in, I said that there were fatal flaws in the Texas case. And I put it at 0% chance that it would succeed in flipping any states at all, and maybe a 50-50 chance that the Supreme Court might be willing to delay the electors. And that would have been a huge win, by the way. That would have been great if that did happen, because that would have given Rudy Giuliani, Jenna Ellis, Sidney Powell, Lynn Wood, okay, the Amistad group up in Wisconsin. It would have given all of these various attorneys and attorney teams more time to be able to make their case. People will say, well, when is it over? Okay, isn't it over on the 14th? No. Just as it wasn't over on the 8th, it wasn't over the day after the election, it is not over until one of two things happen. Okay, there's two things that can, that where I will come on the air and say, guys, it's over, it's done, we've lost. That is, if January 20th rolls around and it still hasn't been fixed, we'll say January 19th. Okay, we'll call it January 19th that I'll come on the air and say, guys, we lost, we failed. Or if President Trump concedes, until one of those two things happen, then we're still fighting. And this Texas ruling, again, I was so disappointed in both this and the Pennsylvania case, because it's like it got to the Supreme Court and everybody's like, oh my gosh, you know, this is it. This is the big one. Okay. Now, I had actually said, is this the silver bullet? I did agree that this could be the silver bullet, but not because I thought that it could overturn anything. Again, simply because it could buy time for better cases. I encourage you to go back through the past couple of shows, look at articles at noqreport.com. I've been very consistent about this. The fact that these weren't the cases that we wanted to hit the Supreme Court first. They just weren't. Not because, you know, it doesn't matter when they hit as far as, you know, the end result, but it does take away people's gumption, their confidence, their hope. And unfortunately, in many cases, their faith. I've seen too many people coming out and saying, you know, God will make this happen. And that's not far from reality. The truth is this, is that if God wants to, God will make President Trump win. That's what he can do because he's God. And if he doesn't will that President Trump can win, there's nothing that Giuliani or anybody else can do. Does that mean we stop fighting? Absolutely not. We still move forward knowing two things. Number one, we have the truth on our side. And number two, we have the truth on our side. People could say, but they're going to try to cheat us. Yes, they've been trying to cheat us before most of us were born. That's how politics works. If there's one thing that, one silver lining that's come out of this, regardless of who wins, is the fact that now more people know. Okay, now more people understand that you cannot fix a system that's broken by trying to fix within the system. You have to change the system. I'm not suggesting changing the Constitution. I'm suggesting changing the way that we do everything, okay, from the voting system. I mean, every argument I've ever heard, and I've tried to be open-minded. I've looked at the statistics regarding, for example, voter ID, okay? Voter ID makes sense. It makes sense logically. It makes sense, you know, based upon election security. There's the arguments that it's racist to demand voter ID. You don't hear people say, you know, it's racist for you to demand that this person shows his ID to get into the bar. Okay. You know, something as simple as that, people have to show their ID and nobody has a qualm. But all of a sudden, you know, arguably the most important, if not one of the top five most important things we can do as United States citizens in our participation within our constitutional republic is to vote. And you're saying, no, you can't. You cannot verify that this person is actually who he says he is or who she says she is. Nope, you can't verify that this person is actually a registered voter or that this person is even a citizen. Don't ask. You can't ask those things. Okay? It's ridiculous. There is no valid argument to fight voter fraud. Well, now maybe we have a chance now. Maybe we can say, look, guys. What I meant was there's no valid argument to fight voter ID. Voter ID should be a thing. It should be. I'm not talking about a national voter ID. I think the states should still be able to handle it as they see fit. But arguments that you don't need it, ridiculous. Arguments that ballots should not be maintained indefinitely, that images of ballots, if you're going to use these voting systems, that these images of ballots are not going to be maintained, no. You have to have verification. We have to change that system. We're not going to be able to vote our way out of this if we can't ever win a vote. And if we lose this one was a landslide. President Trump won in a landslide. And if we lose this, then that tells us that we can only win whatever they allow us to win. Because anytime they want to exert their cheating on us, they can and will and will win, and we can't beat them. That's the takeaway. Now, because they had to overextend themselves, we were able to catch it. Okay, will that catching of it translate into victory in the Supreme Court or in the state legislatures or with the electors? I don't know. I'm still up in the air. 85% sure that it will, but there's still a chance. We don't know what's going to happen. Okay, let me grab some questions. It is exploding. Man, a lot more from YouTube today. I'm surprised that YouTube even allowed this. They'll probably delete it later. Let's see. Harris will never be president. I'm trying to have faith also, but it's so hard. God knows our hearts. Okay, let's address that. Victoria Bell Thomas on Facebook. She says, I'm trying to have faith also, but it's so hard. God knows our hearts. He does. And he knows that we need to. We need a miracle. I'm not saying we need a miracle for this to happen. I'm saying that we need to start as a nation to see miracles happening. Our faith has, we put way too much faith in ourselves. Even the faithful have turned to, you know, we've got to do this. We've got to do that. I've done it myself. Okay. I will condemn myself for doing the same thing. Instead of dropping on my knees and praying, sometimes I'll go on Twitter and tweet about it. That's not the right way to go. I'm not saying that you shouldn't use Twitter, but don't make that the first choice. Don't make anything the first choice above God. I've told this story before, but real quick. You know, when I look at this election, if it does pull out, this will be what I call the Gideon election. Those who aren't familiar, go to Judges chapter 6 through 8. You'll see the story of Gideon. Amazing story. Okay? Angel of the Lord told him, go fight the Midianites. Take them out. There was a ton of them, many more than Gideon could ever hope to compete against man to man. But he listened to the angel of the Lord, and he made a call, and the tribes of various tribes were able to send him 32,000 men. God said, even though this is still, you know, pretty difficult for us to possibly win, when we do win, there's still going to be people that aren't sure that it was me. That they'll still think, oh, you know, our 32,000 men were really good. And so let's get rid of some. Go ahead and just send home anybody who doesn't want to be here. And Gideon does. He's like, okay, who doesn't want to fight? And 22,000 of them said, okay, I'll go home. It's all right, go. Get out of here. You're done. We'll take care of him. And he's down to 10,000. And God's like, still too many. You know, there's still a chance. I know that the odds are stacked against us, but there's still too many men. They're still going to be telling the story as if, oh, the wonderful leadership of Gideon or the amazing weaponry and training of the Israelites or whatever, you know, amazing strategy. So he said, you know what? Then this something that was kind of weird to us, but I guess it was fine at the time. He said, you know, take them down the river, divide them up between the people that put their hands into the water and bring the water to their face and those that bend down and lap up the water from the river like dogs. And 300 men lapped up the water from the river like dogs. And he said, all right, there's your army. Those 300 men, some say 600, one or the other. We'll call it 300. It sounds more dramatic. There's a movie about that. Just the wrong story. But anyway, take those 300 men, go take out the Midianites. It's impossible. Couldn't be done. Could not be done without the hand of God. So yes, it is easy to lose faith over this election, but you must never lose faith in the will of God, his plan. He knows a lot more than us. Okay. Trust me. He's a lot smarter than we are, and he will be able to see us through if that is his will. Just as, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, standing before Nebuchadnezzar, they didn't declare that God is going to save us. They said, if God wills it, then he can save us, even if you throw us in the fiery furnace. But if he doesn't save us, he will deliver us from your hands either way, King Nebuchadnezzar, and he did. And if they had died in the fiery furnace, it might not have been as dramatic, they still would have been, technically speaking, delivered. Now, that's probably pretty fatalistic because it makes it sound like, hey, if Joe Biden wins, we're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. That might not be far from the truth, but you get the idea. Folks, whatever happens, it happens. And we just have to be ready for it. Biden, not my president. Hey. Talk later, my man. Talk later, my man. Okay. It's super over. Biden won big. Oh, that's Bo Elsa. He's actually a Periscope troll. He's been here before. But that's, hey, you know what? I set myself up for those types of comments, and actually the Supreme Court helped, and Texas helped to set us up for that. when state Supreme Courts are crooked, who will help? Okay, well, let's address that question. So you got the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which you guys probably don't know a ton about because it's Wisconsin. Unless you're in Wisconsin, you probably don't know a ton about it. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is made up of 7 justices, 6 of whom are women. Most of them were elected. One was appointed by Governor Walker. Now, of these 7 justices, you have a slight right lean to it. Okay, you have one conservative, one actual originalist on the court. But the other six, 3 are progressives, and 3 are quote unquote right leaning. Okay, conservatives, or President Trump, from a court makeup perspective, has a slight advantage there. Will it be enough? I don't think so. You know, I don't. I'll put this at about 20%, maybe 30. Okay, they've got a good case. They're going after the 220,000 votes in Wisconsin. That should not count, because they were invalid. They shouldn't be counted because they are invalid votes. And they'll try to make that case. Now, the question is not whether or not they prove that case. The question is whether or not the court has the stomach to be willing to invalidate all or part of 220,000 votes, because they know that they'll get attacked. And keep in mind, you know, this is where, you know, people ask, oh, why do you like Supreme Court appointments instead of elections? Shouldn't the people have control? No, because when the people have control over judges like that, and that's, there are certain, you know, regional judges that should definitely be voted on. Okay. County judges, stuff like that. But when you get to any Supreme Court, whether it's the U.S. Supreme Court or state Supreme Court, they should not be voted on. They should be appointed. They should not have fear of repercussions in the next election. That's just, it's just wrong. Let's see. Gosh, I am so, guys, there's just too many in here. I'm falling quite behind on the comments. What happened to the lawsuit which Trump and Pence have filed? Okay, so there's 3. There's technically 4, but there's 3 that we know of. One is in Wisconsin. That's the one that we'll hear tomorrow at noon in Wisconsin before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The other 2 are still have still been filed for appeals. And those are the good ones. I'm not saying they're the best ones, but they're good. What I've read, they have legs to them. Not applicable says 2-party system is part of the problem, as is not having term limits. Amen and amen and amen. Okay. 100% agree there. 2-party system is a humongous part of the problem. When you have people, you know, you should not have Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham in the same party. Okay. You should not have, what's his name? West Virginia, Senator. Oh my gosh. I've even met this guy, West Virginia Senator, very moderate, got stared down by AOC. Anyway, you shouldn't have him and AOC in the same party. Their ideologies are completely different. Okay. You shouldn't have me in the same party as Mitch McConnell. Okay, I know Mitch got a lot of judges. Great. Okay, good job. He did his job adequately. I'm still not a fan. Okay. You're confused. We've won 7 of the last 8 popular votes. Okay, great. There's no point. I shouldn't have even read that. Wellness Bach from Periscope. Let's see. Trolling comments, fun. Let's see. LMAO, sad defeated Trump supporters. Keep laughing there, Dave from Periscope. Keep laughing, Dave. What are you doing, Dave? What are the chances he enacts martial law? Probably very little. That's a question from Jared on Periscope. I don't see it. Okay, but if we've learned anything in 2020, it's that you're not going to see what's coming until it's there. Okay. We've entered that part of the timeline where every guess is as good and bad as the last one and the next one. We don't know. Things can get that crazy. Could there be martial law? Could you have Colonel Alan West coming out? He's the chair of the GOP in Texas. He came out today and he basically essentially encouraged people to prepare to, let's form our own union of states that actually believe in the Constitution. It's not a bad idea. Will it happen? I doubt it, but we'll see. Okay. Gosh. Now they're attacking faith even. That's awesome. Trump lost. Get over it and stop trying to start a war. Okay, Troy. Troy Stockman. Stamen. Stamen. From YouTube. Let's see. Biden for prison. Agreed. But not because of the election, by the way. I don't think Biden people, I don't know how much Biden was actually involved in this steal. I think that's important. I think they kind of just told him, give us your connections, go sit back, go to the basement. We'll tell you when you've won. I'm sorry, guys. I have to jump past a whole bunch of these because they're flying way out of control. Or there's not like they're bad, but I have to jump back to real time because we're losing. Oh, man, they're coming too fast for me. All right. Okay, good stuff. People fighting in the chat amongst themselves. Carry on, guys. You know, and let's not forget that the people who come onto these shows and troll, and they you know, tell us to give up. They tell us, you know, Trump is this, Trump is that. The Trump supporters are this, Trump supporters are that. They attack us for our faith. I think that the majority of them, it's not that they're necessarily bad people, not that there's any such thing as a good person per se, but you know, I don't think that they're exceptionally bad. There's a strong delusion over people. We have to remember that. And it's not just Democrats. It goes across the board. Okay. And they perceive us as being, you know, all of us are racist, anti-immigration, whatever, you know. I, being a legal immigrant, I always thought that was funny that they say I'm against immigration. I'm very much for immigration, just making sure it's legal. But let's not forget that we are still human beings. You know, I might get into a debate. I might call Dave names and the brave troll that whose name is apparently not applicable and who I'm sure he's got important reasons why, but I must stay anonymous. You know, going out there and ripping on faith. Cowards. And yet, if I saw them drowning, I would go help. If they needed $10, I'd give it to them. We have to remember that. We're still humans. We're still Americans, most of us. Okay. Yeah, they're definitely trolls. So back to the point at hand. You've got Sidney Powell pushing her various suits through. You've got Lynn Wood. His case is docketed in the Supreme Court. It's a case in Georgia. And it's a pretty good case. Okay. It's not the best case. There's a lot of stretching in that case, but there's a lot of very valid information as well. So it depends upon how that one gets argued, if it does get argued. Then you've got, of course, Rudy Giuliani, Jenna Ellis, and the entire Trump team. They have multiple cases going through, including the one that will be heard in the Michigan Supreme Court tomorrow. We still have legislators who have expressed support for this, and legislators can and should be selecting electors when there's a doubt. Okay. The entire election system is based on limiting, mitigating the potential for doubt in the results of the election. And you cannot say, I don't care. You could say, oh, Joe Biden won, Trump lost. Okay, you can believe that. But there's still tens of millions of Americans who do not. There's still tens of millions of Americans who see the evidence, who read the affidavits, or hear, listen to people who do read the affidavits, who read the articles that you don't, who do not believe, based upon the evidence they've seen, that this race, this election, was fair and square. That has to be dealt with. Okay. If you think Biden won, then demonstrate it, prove it. You always say, show us the evidence. Except the problem is that when we show you the evidence, you say, okay, show us the evidence. What? Or you shoot back, well, the district judge didn't think there was enough evidence. Or I'm sure people are going to say, oh, but the Supreme Court said there was not enough evidence. That's not what they said at all. The Supreme Court did not say that the Pennsylvania case or the Texas case, that either of them were lacking evidence. They said that they didn't give a reason for dismissing the case in Pennsylvania. And as far as the Texas case, they said they did not have standing. They did not have standing. And that's a valid point. I mean, it's true. It probably is true. The reason I had any confidence at all that there was going to be standing was because they had the backing of so many other states. That's the only reason. If Texas went in this alone, then no, of course, they should not have standing. It's none of their business. Okay? What happens in Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan? Does it affect them? Yes. It does. Just as their vote affects the other states. That's how this stuff works. But their biggest problem, the fatal flaw that prevented them from being able to establish standing, is the fact that they did not go after other states. They went after these four. There were 27 other states that had similar, if not worse, examples of the election system being subverted in a way that went against state law, election law, state constitution, or the U.S. Constitution, or a combination of those four. 27 other states. So the fact they picked out those four, it seemed disingenuous, because it's like, well, you know, Montana, Steve Bullock in Montana had tons of, you know, he basically did try to steal the election and practically admitted it, you know, through mail-in balloting. And yet he wasn't named. His state wasn't named. Why? Because Trump won. That was one of the fatal flaws. And that's why I did not think that they would be able to achieve standing. The fact they were able to get so many other states in there, yeah, that was good. And I thought it was going to work. But so be it. The bottom line is this: we have many avenues left. And from here until the correct, the fair results of this election are announced, whether through the Supreme Court, through electors, through state legislatures, from now until then, you're going to be hearing from mainstream media, big tech, just as you've already been hearing from the Democrats themselves, from many Republicans. Are going to be like, it's over. You know, Joe Biden is going to be inaugurated on January 20th. Everything makes it over. It's been over since the 4th. Okay. They're gaslighting you. They are. They want you to lose hope. They want you to lose faith. I get trolled, especially on Twitter. I have open DMs at JD Rucker. You want to talk to me? You can. Okay. I'm not like some of these looking in the chat. Yeah. There's a lot of anonymous trolls, a lot of brave people who can rip on other people, but while hiding behind no access to them. Don't even know what their names are, because they're too important. They can't risk what could happen if they use their real name. You know, their CIA, FBI, DEA, or their, you know, look, I'm the CEO. I had this guy try to convince me he's the CEO of a major, major energy company. And he was telling me how I know for a fact, based upon multi-million-dollar studies that I put out, that global warming, that climate change is real, okay? Yeah, I'm like, wow, major CEO, major company. Okay, so I go back through his Twitter feed. It only took a month where he's ripping, and I'm not saying that a major CEO at an energy company is not going to be an avid gamer who's complaining about, you know, video game reviews and how the industry is so bad, okay? But, you know, I mean, that's the beauty of you guys out there that won't say your name. You don't have to worry about people calling you out. I do. And if you want to call me out, go to JD Rucker, twitter.com/JD Rucker. I have open DMs and I get them all day, positive and negative. I don't mind. Let's see. Oh, now they're making excuses because, okay, anyway. Yeah. The funny part is the person who's literally out mocking my faith is saying, mocking is stupid. I wish I could say that I don't get emotionally driven by the conversations, especially with trolls, but also with good people. Okay. I'm not saying that if you're not a troll, you're a good person. If you are a troll, you're a bad person. But generally speaking, if in your life you have time to go on a show like this and sit there and attack people based upon, you know, their faith, based upon their political ideology, based upon their beliefs, you know, I will question everything about you. Oh, they're good. They're good. Let's see. Shelley William Arnold says, just as when David slew Goliath the giant with a small stone and a slingshot, the Lord is fighting for us so that the world will see there is a God in America. I sure hope you're right. Shelley Williams Arnold from Facebook. And thank you for using your real name. And apparently your husband is very thankful as well. Good profile picture. Gail Steele says, I am praying Trump stays in White House. Keep praying. Absolutely. Best thing you can do is keep praying. Second best thing you can do is to spread the word and make sure that people don't succumb to the trolls. Okay. That's all. I mean, this is their go time. Okay. This is how they can feel like they're contributing to society. The post-truth society that they envision, the society in which, you know, it doesn't matter whether, you know, you're this or that. You are whatever you say you are. You can be an energy CEO, you know, an energy company CEO, even if you're probably a 17-year-old gamer or a 24-year-old gamer or a 45-year-old gamer, okay? I don't want to go into ageism here. But at the end of the day, maintaining our faith, maintaining our hope, is what we can do. So we have to spread the truth and make sure that others understand, because there was a whole lot. It didn't just come from the left. This time it came from the right. You know, this time it came from the right in many ways that, you know, we're putting everything into this Texas case, this very flawed Texas case. They set us up for a big letdown. They did. You know, I wish I think we're up to, with the podcast, I think we're up to 22,000 people that listened to the show last night, where I said it had the Texas case had a 0% chance of flipping any of the four states they were going after, and maybe a 50-50 chance of delaying the selection of electors from beyond December 14th. You know, 22,000. I wish it was 22 million. I wish that more people heard that, but unfortunately, they're listening to a lot of other people that are saying different things, or were saying different things. And now it bugs me to death. Because now they're locked in. They're like, oh, this is it. This is the big one. And when it failed, I went to see a lot of the people that were saying, this is it. This is the big one. And now they're saying, oh, man, game over, man. Okay. It's like the, what's his name from Aliens? Hicks, you know. Corporal Hicks, I think it was. You know, the late Bill Paxton. He's like, game over, man. Game over. You see that a lot. I had a good friend of mine from Two Mics podcast. Colonel Mike texted me. Apparently a lawyer was telling him, actually, let me just pull it up real quick. I want to be accurate. A lawyer friend had told him, stand by. Gosh, too many texts. I don't like texting. I'll be very frank about that. I'm not a big fan of texting. He said, this is from an attorney. He said, Supreme Court has incorrectly thrown out Texas suit. No more law in U.S. Turn out the lights on Trump re-election. The party's over. It's irresponsible. And I would question this lawyer's credentials. Number one, for thinking that this was the big case. Number two, for then saying that it's over. Okay. Unless he's just, you know, reacting. This was not the big case. You know, I think even Trump said, this is the big one. Okay. This wasn't the big one. Okay. It just wasn't. It couldn't have been. Best case scenario is that it delayed in a way. And I even said this was the silver bullet because it had a chance. It was asking to delay the selection of the electors beyond the 14th. In that way, it gives the other cases that are more substantial. Okay. These other cases, it gave them the opportunity to advance further. You know, they didn't have to rush it so much. They could continue to gather evidence because more evidence is popping up every single day. More affidavits are being sworn and signed every single day. I'm not one who will call for secession at this point. I'm not going to say, oh, we need to redo the election. Oh, we need martial law. We just need the system to play out. And we need people to stop saying it's over. The left is already saying that. I don't need anybody on the right saying that as well. So stop, people, because it's not. Ajax asks, so what is the big case? It's not a big case. Okay. The big case is whichever one, whichever of the cases, whether it's Lynn Wood, Sidney Powell's, Rudy Giuliani's, Jenna Ellis's, the various ones, you know, the ones that can hopefully establish standing. All of Rudy's cases they'll all have standing. Lynn Wood's case probably will be able to establish standing, and we'll be able to see that. It's already docketed in the Supreme Court. You know, he is a potential elector, and this does affect him. Now, whether they decide that it affects him enough directly to allow him standing, we will see. Okay, Sidney Powell's, that's the only thing that blocks her. Does she have standing? We'll see. She seems to have the most evidence. So it may be time for them, Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood, I'm saying, to combine their suits, which can be done. And there is time to get that done, especially now that Woods has already been docketed. Yeah, I don't know what communication they're having, if they're having any communication at all. They were at a rally a couple weeks ago together, so maybe they're already planning it. We will see. But the answer to your question, which one is the big one? The big one is the first one that falls. The first domino that falls, because once you have the one, nobody wants, you know, the ideal situation from a judge's perspective is that none of the dominoes fall. They want it to be smooth, okay? But if a domino falls, then the floodgates will bust open. We just need the one, and it needs to be before the others, which is, again, why I was so annoyed that Pennsylvania and Texas got first shot at the Supreme Court, because I thought they would get shot down. We need the ones with the voter fraud, direct voter fraud, not protocols, not statutes, not constitutional questions of whether or not this was done inappropriately. We need to say this is voter fraud, clear, plain, and simple. This number of votes were fraudulent and must be tossed. That is what we need. And they can prove that again through Dominion, through the affidavits, through all the data that's out there. They have what it takes to prove the case. The question is whether or not they have the time to prove it. And as a timing issue, again, like I said before, for those who missed it, two deadlines, January 20th, or President Trump concedes. Until one of those two things happen, there is still time. There is. The clock is ticking. I've been using the football analogy. There's about 10, maybe 8 minutes left in the third quarter, okay, if we're using a football analogy, and we're still down by two touchdowns. Game is not over. Game is not over. Okay, back to the trolls, back to the peoples. Ooh, this is a non-troll. People talking about the recounts. Briefly, the recounts. Actually, I'm not even going to cover it. We're not going to talk about it. The recounts, because they did. Well, okay. I already brought it up now. It's too late. I can't. So, great. I lost the. Whoever you were, I'm sorry. There it is. Okay. Shelly, not going to try to pronounce your middle name. Shelly Garcia from Facebook says, you're an idiot. Not referring to me, even though sometimes I am an idiot and many people call me that. You're an idiot replying to, looks like, Jane Griffin. You recount the same illegal votes, of course it'll come out the same or similar. Put a picture up, then a name. We try to maintain a non-explicit label on this for the sake of Apple Podcasts. So that is true. And you know, there was a, I believe it was Coffee County, Georgia today that declared that after the third attempt to recreate the voting numbers in Georgia, Coffee County, Georgia, they cannot validate their votes. They told this to Brad Raffensperger. Look, we've tried to recount, and it's a different number every time. We tried three times, and we got three different numbers. This doesn't make any sense. This is the dumbest thing ever. We're sorry. We can't validate. It doesn't matter, because Brad Raffensperger, who is a Republican, at least in name only, but he is a Republican. He doesn't care. He's still going by the vote count from, you guessed it, from November 7th, because that's what he keeps referring back to, because whether he was, he's one of the three Bs. Okay, I'll go ahead and say it. He and Governor Brian Kemp are one of the three Bs. Okay, why are they so adamant on hiding voter fraud in their own state? Because they were either bought, bullied. I hate to say the third one, but it could be true. Or they were blackmailed in some way. Bought or bribed, both begin with a B. Bullied or blackmailed. And that's why they keep reverting back. Keep in mind, folks, people say that there was a recount in Georgia. No, there was technically two recounts in Georgia that the numbers haven't changed. You say, oh, but look, they did the recounts, the numbers didn't change. That's because the local officials, they were not allowed to report the results of their recount. They were able to tell the Secretary of State's office. But the official numbers that they are putting out from every individual, county, those numbers are based upon the original count from November 7th, or the finalized count from November 7th. It's not that the votes didn't change. It's not that they didn't identify voter fraud. It's that Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger has said, okay, great. You guys did the recount. Excellent. Give me those numbers. Okay. Don't mention the numbers. Just put in the numbers from November 7th. Those are the numbers that we're going to report. That's when it was finalized. Go with those. But Mr. Secretary of State, we noticed that the numbers were different. Yeah, I get it. Well, I'll take care of that. Okay. You guys, we certify the original numbers. You probably hadn't heard that if you get your news from Twitter or Facebook or mainstream media. But that is the truth. That is what happened. Why wouldn't you hear about that? Okay. Yep, the chats are coming in much faster than I can possibly keep up with. Okay. Jared asks, okay, this is a good question. Jared asks, it's going too fast. What are the steps to legally change the votes after the Electoral College votes? Nobody knows. There's nothing in there that says what those steps are. Okay, they have to. I mean, we know that it has to be certified by the on Capitol Hill, and that's where a lot of people are saying that's when, you know, if it comes down to it, that's where they can just not certify it. In which case, it gets thrown to the House to select the president, and to the Senate to select the vice president. Okay. I know it's an odd scenario, but that's the scenario that if they don't certify, if they don't validate the Electoral College votes, which can happen, then it's a contested election. It goes straight through to the House and the Senate, which has happened in the past. Is that what we want? No, we want it all taken care of nice and neat and with a nice package and a bow on top. And we want it all to be nice and perfect, right? That's why we want these lawsuits to go through. It's going to get ugly either way. This is 2020, folks, okay? And 2021 is not looking any better. I'm not saying that things are all bad. I don't want to be a nihilist. What I'm saying is that whatever you think you know, whatever I think I know, we don't know, because there's more curveballs. Okay, they say that you hear the analogy, oh, they threw you a curveball, and that's why you missed. Well, in this case, we're having about 60 curveballs thrown at us at once, and we're getting pummeled. Then a couple of fastballs hitting us right between the eyes, knocking us in the jaw. It's been a crazy year, okay? It's been a crazy year. So, you know, the question being, you know, how does this get fixed? I don't know. I keep referring back to there are multiple possibilities. We had a great guy on, Ivan Raiklin, constitutional scholar, on a few days ago. He laid out a very long but good plan that showed essentially four paths through which President Trump could be reelected. And he said the only path that Joe Biden has would be for the president to concede. Now, I also think that if nothing is done between the Supreme Court state legislatures, the electors, the U.S. Congress, if nothing is done between now and January 20th, and by default, Joe Biden would be president. So there are technically two paths. Either Trump concedes or nothing happens, in which case he wins. Joe Biden wins if nothing happens. We have dozens, if not hundreds, of potential avenues through which something can happen. Now, each as an individual thing, if Linwood wins his case, does that mean that the election is over? No, because Georgia represents 16 electoral college votes. Right now, Joe Biden is projected to be 36 votes up ahead of the threshold of 270 electoral college votes. So if Linwood is able to knock out those 16, then that's still a Joe Biden victory if that's the only thing that happens. Things have to happen in unison. Things have to happen in the proper order. Multiple things have to happen for this to be corrected. And don't let people say, oh, but you know, you're trying to overturn the election. We're not trying to overturn anything. We're just trying to get the correct results. That's it. Period. Okay, Mariska DeJong, thank you for using your real name. Let's put that one up there because I have to put him up on stage. I know that, that puts the thing in front of my face, which you guys love looking at my face, I'm sure. But the chats are going too fast, and I have to isolate them. Okay, Biden won. Stop the lunacy. OMG, do you realize the world is laughing on how insane this became very fast? Seriously, I feel for you guys. Breathe. And Biden gives that to Breathe. And Biden. Biden, Biden gives that to USA and the world. Okay. So, you know, that is a perspective. It's not a perspective I share, but you're at least using your real name and not being too insulting. So we'll allow it. Transparency is key. Absolutely. Oh gosh. Yeah. They're just going too fast. Apologies, guys. Turning the chat off for now. I'm not turning it off, but looking away from it for now, because we have to keep pushing on with this. As I've said multiple times already, and multiple times over the past few days, we have the truth on our side. We see the voter fraud. And the people that say, show me the evidence, they do see the voter fraud. The vast majority of them do. Not everybody is sticking their head in the sand. They're just gaslighting. They're just saying, okay, yeah, that, nah, disregard that. Oh, disregard that. You know, very similar to what happened with, you know, the funny thing that we're seeing now with Hunter Biden. You know, all of a sudden, you know, after Hunter Biden comes out and says, well, there was mountains of evidence, mountains of reasons to believe back as recently as or as early as October 14th, that Hunter Biden was under investigation, that Hunter Biden had all kinds of problems, that Hunter Biden's laptop demonstrated that this is a very disturbed man. But it was suppressed. It was censored on by big tech, censored by mainstream media. They refused to cover it. Now, after the fact, this tells you, you know, the how disingenuous they are. Now, after the fact, they are covering it. Only when Hunter Biden actually had to come out and say himself in a statement, you know, yes, I am under investigation. He lied. He said he's under investigation for taxes. It turns out that he's under investigation for money laundering, connection to the Chinese Communist Party. But yet, even despite all that, those of you who only listen to or watch CNN, you probably still don't know it because CNN still won't cover it. They refuse. We've learned a lot from this election. Arguably, the most important thing that we've learned is that we can't trust anybody. Can we trust William Barr, who actively suppressed understanding and knowledge of the investigation into the Biden crime family, multiple investigations, I should say, knew that before the election? Is he in on it? Is he part of the deep state? People say, oh, you know, he's one of the main guys in the deep state. That's not true. Okay? He's a lackey in the deep state. Yes, okay, so he's the highest ranking law enforcement officer in the land. He's the attorney general. How could he be a lackey? He's a lackey, guys. Okay? He just does what he's told. Were sent down from his bosses. And unfortunately, that's not President Trump. He was placed in there to do what he's doing. That's not conspiracy theory. This is, you know, this is understandable. President Trump himself did not know how, if there's an investigation into the Biden family that includes being beholden to the Chinese Communist Party, and he's not going to mention it to the President of the United States? That's wrong. That's wrong on 150,000 different levels. And yes, he did it for a reason. It wasn't to, you know, to make sure that the investigation didn't get leaked or that this, that, or the other. He did it to help Trump lose. He did it to help Joe Biden win. Period. And whether he did that for, because of one of the, he did it because of one of the three B's, probably. He was either bribed, I doubt. Bullied, not possible. Blackmailed, yeah, more likely. Or the fourth option is that he was just always inserted there from the beginning as a pawn for the deep state, period. Try to grab some of these chats. It's tough. It's not a conspiracy theory if it's an actual fact. And it is. The, again, these are things that this is not new. This is not like I'm stretching out and reading this on some crazy blog. Okay. It's out there today in mainstream media, even saying that Bill Barr knew about the investigation into the Biden crime family before the election and did not inform the President of the United States and did not allow anyone to discuss it. Not because of protecting the sanctity of the investigation. That was not necessary. They've been on this investigation for months. No. It was specifically to harm the President of the United States. Let's see if I'm going to try to slow this down. Mark Jones asked, why is Trump still going to win? How is it possible? Let me go ahead and lay that out briefly one more time. So those of you who have heard before, listen to my show last night. As I said last night, the chances of the Texas lawsuit overturning anything, any of the four states that were defendants, was zero. Okay, said that last night. I also said that there's maybe a 50-50 chance that it could delay the selection of the electors, which would be a benefit only from. And again, let me be clear: when I say it's a benefit, it only makes it's like clearing out a little bit of the runway, so to speak, making it easier for one of the other lawsuits to make a safe landing, whether that's Linwood's lawsuit, which is docketed. This Georgia lawsuit is docketed in the Supreme Court now, whether it's the Wisconsin lawsuit, which is now going to be heard tomorrow at noon, Saturday at noon in the Supreme Court of the Wisconsin. That is an actual Trump lawsuit. People say Trump's lost whatever it is, 40, 70, 150 lawsuits. No, he hasn't. His team will be going up to bat for the first time because this is the only one that counts. So yeah, but this was shot down today by the lower court, right? Which is why it's going to the Supreme Court. We don't care about the lower courts. We don't care about the appellate courts. They skipped the appellate court in this case because of the emergency action. You have Sidney Powell still pushing her. She's appealing directly to the state Supreme Court and to the Supreme Court simultaneously. You still have the state legislatures who have indicated not only that they are not confident in the results of the election, but they may actually act to do it. You have the Arizona Republican Party has filed suit with the Supreme Court because of what's happening there in that whole mess. We'd like to talk about Pennsylvania and Oregon and Michigan and to some extent Wisconsin because those are the four biggest, you know, clusters, so to speak. No, Arizona was just an absolute horrendous mess. That's the one that if you know, when historians look back, that's the one that they're going to look at back and they're going to say, maybe with the exception of Georgia, which is pretty bad. And of course, you know, Philadelphia, but that's perennially a black hole of voter fraud. But they'll look at Arizona and say, wow, this is really, really, really bad. I mean, they pulled out all stops. They went full blown desperation mode to try to make this happen. And they almost didn't even succeed in that. Same thing in Georgia. I mean, in Georgia, we're talking about 12,500 votes. Okay, reversing that. I mean, you could see hundreds, if not thousands, of votes being you know, video evidence of the same votes being recounted multiple times. They put it in the machine. I mean, she literally put them in the machine on video, put them in the machine, let them be counted, picked them up from the machine, and put them back in the machine during the time, which, call me shocked, during a time when Joe Biden's vote count inexplicably shot up. They say, show me the evidence. Where's the evidence? Look for the evidence. Take your head out of the sand. Stop getting your news from CNN. Stop getting your news from MSNBC. Stop getting your news from Fox News. And if you're, you know what, if you're on the left, you're like, yeah, but I don't want to go to OAN or I don't want to go to Newsmax. They're all just in the tank for Trump. Okay, so find something that's a bit more direct. Okay, John Solomon's site, justthenews.com. Good stuff there. Okay, it's not. I mean, is he right-leaning? Absolutely. Is the site honest? Yes, it is. He calls balls and strikes for the most part. You can find the information directly. Instead of getting, you know, people to tell you what's in the lawsuit, people were saying, and this is on the right and the left, people were saying, you know, everybody's saying this is the big one, the big lawsuit, because look at what all these states are behind them, 126 members of Congress. Oh, Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader is behind it. And I'm like, guys, those are just amicus briefs, okay? Just amicus briefs. That's, yes, they're behind it. Is that going to sway the court? Probably a little bit, okay? But they need to be swayed a whole lot if they're going to actually try to change the results of the election. And getting an amicus brief New California, New Nevada groups. They were using it great. They got their hashtag to trend. That's awesome. They used an amicus brief to call attention to their cause. I don't hold any ill will towards that. But the bottom line is that you have all these people that were saying this case is going to be the big one, that this case is going to fly. And somebody does not have to have a law degree or special access to be able to go to the SupremeCourt.gov. SupremeCourt.gov, look up the dockets, look up, you know, open up the PDFs. Even if you just read the introductions, you can see that there were flaws. Just read the introductions. You don't have to be an attorney. You don't have to be particularly smart to be able to see what is actually going on. Read the affidavits. They're written in plain English. Point I'm trying to make is stop being told what to think and start thinking for yourselves. Don't let me tell you what to think. Don't let anybody get the news direct if you can. And you have the act, unless you don't have the internet, you can get this information directly. You can read the affidavits. You can learn about these people. You might say, I don't have time for that. Okay, great. Then your opinion is not very important. I hate to say it, but on this topic, if you can come out here and say, where's the evidence? Show me the evidence. Then that's an indication to me that you have read through all the affidavits and you've discounted this. You know, yeah, chances are I could probably find on your Twitter feed. I did this the other day. This was great. You know, person says, yes, I have read the affidavits and I'm not buying any of it. I went back a while. This person for a month was touting Juicy Smollett, saying, I can't believe you guys doubt his word. Stop it. Just stop it. Don't even try, man. You believe Juicy? Is it Juicy? Juicy Smollett and his story? You swore by it? You swore by it? And yet, these people who gain absolutely nothing, they can lose from it, have filed sworn affidavits under threat of perjury if they are lying. And again, they gain nothing. But there's over 1,000 of them, and you can say that they're all liars. People ask, why do I still believe? I'm always between 85 and 90%. Have been for a while. Why do I believe? Because I have to believe in America. I have to believe that because of the mountains of truth, that this is, we're stuck in a procedural hell right now. That's all it is. When the truth is allowed to come out, is forced to come out in open court, then we win. It just has to happen fast. We have less than a month to realistically get these cases docketed. We have 6 weeks until the election is finalized, until January 20th. It has to happen in that time period. So, yeah, there's still a chance we could lose. Thankfully, we do have the truth on our side. Okay, last call for questions. I'm not even going to try to keep up with them. Let's see. Trump is defining the act, weak, win strong. Okay. Good enough. Let's see. This is a reply, but it's a long one, so I'm going to try to read it. From Leslie Fannin, Biden will never be your president. They are already maneuvering him out. It will be Harris, and by the way, to complete economic bankrupting. You will be waiting in lines for hours for milk and walked there since gas prices will be through the roof. Get ready for hell on earth because you are getting ready to experience it. And the North Koreans. The North Koreans. Read that one wrong. Know where my head's at. And thanks a lot, buddy, for cheating and dragging the rest of us through it with you. One thing. So I understand the sentiment, Leslie. You are right. There are bad things that are happening. And if Biden does win, you know, God forbid, if he does win and Kamala Harris is installed as the president, or even if she isn't, even if it is Biden, then yes, terrible things are going to start happening to this nation. Terrible things. The authoritarianism is going to reign supreme, and there will be a split because there are enough patriots who just won't take it. Okay, so, you know, I mean, I'll acknowledge it. We aren't. I'm out here in California. I am not fully confident that if Joe Biden wins, that we will stay here. I hate California politics already. Be even worse if I have to deal with a national level of radical progressivism. But the one that part that I will disagree with, the people in here, the debate, okay, the trolls or non-trolls, not everybody, just because they disagree with me doesn't make them a troll. Okay, they might just thoroughly disagree. But we can't say that they cheated. Maybe they did. Maybe they participated. But the vast majority, millions, tens of millions of people that voted for Joe Biden and hate President Trump didn't cheat. They just voted. Okay, a lot of them did cheat. But the cheating, keep in mind, we know it's massive. We know that it would have taken tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people to get this done, which is why we are seeing whistleblowers coming out, which is why the truth is on our side. One of the reasons the truth is on our side, because they just couldn't handle it. This is why I keep going back to, once a domino falls, people will start getting concerned. Because once it's one thing to go out there as ideologues and be willing to fall on your sword for the sake of getting rid of Trump. Most of the people that are involved in this, they're not like that. Okay. They're like, yeah, I'll help, but I ain't going down for it. Okay. If I have to hand over evidence, if I have to become a witness, so be it. We just have to wait for the first domino to fall. Which one will that be? We will see. We could see it tomorrow in Wisconsin. We could see it early next week with Lynn Wood. We could see it with the Trump campaign, with Sidney Powell. There's so many options. This Texas case was not the end-all be-all, I assure you. Keep that in mind. All right, one more. Let me jump to the bottom. See any recent ones. Man, you should look at mirror before step in. I'm not sure what, I don't think that was directed to me, because obviously. I mean, come on. Going too fast. Let's go back to the top. Marjorie Swan correctly states case was lost on procedure. Have to get the case so the merits are judged. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Case was lost. The Texas case was dismissed over procedure. They did not have standing. There was no, oh, they looked at the evidence and decided, no. They didn't look at the evidence. They didn't. The merits of the case were strong. Just as the merits of the case of the Pennsylvania, the one filed by Mike Kelly, Congressman Mike Kelly and Sean Parnell. The merits of those both cases were strong, but they both had fatal flaws. They both went in, I'm sorry, but with the wrong predicates in both cases. That case in Pennsylvania, the first one that hit the Supreme Court from Mike Kelly, if that had been filed 3 months ago, they would have won. They could have stopped the no excuse mail-in balloting before it started. They chose not to. Now, people will say, well, it's because they didn't know that it was going to happen. Yeah, they should have. They shouldn't have passed Act 77 at all in 2019. A lot of people say, you know, they passed it for coronavirus. No, they didn't. This was before the coronavirus. Democrats then used the coronavirus bureaucrats then used the coronavirus. State, the executive branch, then used the coronavirus as a reason to manipulate the law to benefit them for voter fraud. Yes, this is all true. But again, let's be clear. This was done well before the election. They had time. They waited until after they lost. That was their fatal mistake. Again, with the Texas case, I thought they might be able to establish standing simply because they were able to get amicus briefs from not only the Pennsylvania state legislature, not only from the House of Representatives, 126 members, but also from multiple states. But Texas itself had to file a reply today. When that happened, I was like, oh boy, they're trying to demonstrate standing, aren't they? They are. They're not going to get it, are they? And they didn't. But at the end of the day, we still have the truth on our side. So keep spreading that truth. Keep praying. And don't lose hope. It is, like I said, about 8 minutes left in the third quarter. Clock's ticking. We're down by 2 touchdowns, but by no means are we done yet. Not even close. Lord willing, we'll be back very soon with another episode. But in the meantime, you guys stay strong, stay safe, and God bless.